Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
More points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock takes. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080. The Fan.
What's happening, Portland? This is not Joe Fisher. Fish is out again doing whatever Fish does when he's out on the weekends doing, you know, living his life. This is the Schulte and Schott Show on Sunday. Lots of S's, but we're here for it, man. I'm Rashawn Taylor. Behind the glass is my guy Jordan Schulte. What's up, bro?
What's up? Lots of S's. Hopefully I don't swear.
Yeah.
I'm on no sleep, so I'm punchy today. My wife has bronchitis, so that hasn't been fun at all.
That's nasty, man.
But a call out to all doctors out there. If somebody says that they need something, just give it to them. Stop thinking that people are addicts. Stop with the push to
it
not...
It depends on what we're asking for.
I want some freaking cough syrup with codeine so my wife can sleep. That's all. She's got asthma.
She wants some lean, eh?
She's had it for 30-plus years, since she was about 5-6 years old, and when she gets sick, it can turn bad quickly. And one way to relieve that is so she can sleep. And if she's coughing, she can't sleep. One way she can sleep with codeine.
Yeah.
So just annoying. The doctor just ignored me yesterday.
Yeah,
so sorry, I'm on one about that.
No, you're good, because we live in that day and age where you just can't ask for codeine. And
they think you're at it.
On the up and up, right? Like there's a, you know, making purple drink or whatever those. I don't think people do that anymore, though, do they? I'm sure they still do, like down south, but I haven't heard of anybody doing lean in a long time.
I mean, I feel like this, it was like before the pandemic that kind of got cracked down on. So maybe it was like, I don't know, in some people's opinions, like in another life, because we've all lived 7 lifetimes since the pandemic. So it's been a while, but I think it was 2018, 2019 or
That's the craziest, like, quote unquote, like it wasn't recreational. Well, I guess they were using it recreationally, but that was the craziest thing ever. People were really just drinking cough syrup and Sprite.
That's so
stupid. And like
stupid.
That was taking it to the party and selling it for an S-ton,
you know
what I mean?
And not only that, but then started whole lines of styrofoam cups, because it was like the cool thing to double cup your styrofoam, like, cup with your brand logo on it,
yeah.
And you'd drink lean, and it was like, you're all ridiculous. And they ruined it for everybody, so thank you.
They ruin it for everybody. You know, even now, you know, you have to be like 18 or 21 or one of those to buy just regular cough syrup at the store. Like, I went to go buy some like Tylenol PM, like, you know, cough medicine,
yeah, just
stuff
normal
like
stuff,
that. Yeah. Just normal, regular cough and cold stuff. And they were like, can I see your ID? I said, for what? Like, I look around. I was like, do I have any alcohol or beer? It's like, no, well, we need an ID for cough syrup. It's like, man, it's just people are messing with regular. Stop that, y'all. If you're out there, you know, messing with regular cough syrup and stuff, like,
we literally,
it's safe to say we have a problem.
We literally can't get sick now without getting checked on, essentially. That does feel a little Big Brother-esque, you know, a little Orwellian 1984 status when you're going to the store not to grab alcohol, not to grab anything dangerous, so to speak, but just something to help you feel a little bit better so you can go to work the next day. And they're like, oh, sir, we need to check on you for that.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I mean, yeah, it's a weird
get
space.
Get out
but
of here, man.
At least, I mean, but at the same time, I'm glad they're kind of doing it low-key. But
no, because it does. It keeps the idiots away, but it is kind of an inconvenience.
Yeah, it's super inconvenient, man. I am struggling through it, Jordan. I'm pretty tired today. I'm not going to front. Yesterday was a long day. Last week we had Coach Roy Pittman and Dustin Beindriff here in the studio. They talked about the Peninsula Superstars two-style tournament that was coming up. That was actually yesterday, and I ended up hosting the event from right around 7 something a.m. till, you know, I left a little early. I had to get some work done. And so I left it right around 5 or, you know, 5:30, somewhere around there. Either way, it was an amazing event. Shout out to Coach Pittman and all of his staff, all of the parents, everybody that was there. There were a little over 700 kids that came to compete. It was a long, long day. My son in his very first tournament got 4th. Again, he didn't win any of his matches, but he scored some points, which was an important part of the wrestling process, which I'm just kind of learning because I'm like a rookie dad here. But man, it was an awesome, awesome day. But I would be lying to you if I told you I was super bright-eyed and bushy-tailed today. I am struggling through it, and I hate coffee, so I just kind of got to...
Do you go like caffeinated tea, like green tea at all? Do you, anything to pick you up?
I see
every one of these hosts, or at least the younger guys like us, with like a Monster or like, which, by the way, don't drink those because the taurine in those has been linked to the colon cancer epidemic in younger people. So maybe push the, it's not like it's not like this is healthy either.
I was just about to say, man.
But it ain't connected to colon cancer. So
tall caramel frappuccino with the extra shot of.
No, it's just coffee. Yeah. There's no caramel in it.
No,
just
coffee. No, I'm not a coffee dude. I'm definitely not a Joe. Always has a Monster, but now it's like I think he's on the Mountain Dew kind of, you know, Joe's a bro. So I'm not super surprised.
Yeah, golfer,
he's a golfer. Yeah, he's a golfer bro.
Love Joe.
You know, so I think the taste of energy drinks are disgusting.
Yeah, I like Red Bull. And honestly, I'll have a Monster if I can't get a Red Bull, but that's only when I'm drinking vodka at the bar.
Yeah.
Like there's a rare time other than that where I might be sipping a Red Bull, but I think that rare time is like when I can find nothing else. So
no, I've never understood I get it, you know, but things like energy drinks, and I'm not a big caffeine dude anyway. So no, I just kind of thug it out with water, you know, maybe a Gatorade Zero if I'm feeling spicy, you know.
Love me some Gatorade.
But
Glacier Freeze.
Yeah, outside of, I mean, so my favorite flavor, and
okay,
I think it's a goated flavor, but
what
nobody
is the flavor?
And it's Fierce Melon.
Oh, the is that the teal one?
It's like an orangish red. Yeah, it's kind of like closer to orange or something like that.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's like an orange.
Yeah, it's clutch, and it is delicious. One of the best Gatorade flavors all. But now I can't be on those, so I got to drink stuff with zero sugar.
Which at first
sucks. Like, it's stupid, you know, just whenever you have to go, like, you know, no sugar, zero sugar, like, whatever, like, it sucks at first. And then it's like, I couldn't drink a regular soda if I wanted to.
Now,
it's so sweet.
I mean, it is. Once you stop, it's pretty hard to. But, like, so can you do this stuff, like, with stevia or, like, the, not the alternative, like, sweet and low, but, like,
real alternative
to sugar?
Like, monk fruit and stuff
Exactly.
Yeah, of course. Okay. And even still, like, that's not bad. That can tend to be a little sweet, too, if you use too much of it and stuff. So, it's a nice balance. But
had maple syrup, like, sweetened cookies, and it can be sweet.
It's super crazy. Like, I end up craving stuff that people shouldn't crave. like, oh man, I'd love a whole bag of grapes right now. Like, what? Like, it's dumb.
That's not bad at all.
It's not bad, but it's like, man, I would never sit down like, oh man, you know what I could use right now? About 50 or 60 grapes.
White grapes or purple grapes?
Grapes. Who cares?
Doesn't matter. Yeah, see, I prefer purple grapes to like the green grapes or the white grapes.
Who cares, man? Just shoot them. Shoot them.
Grapes
are,
them to me.
Grapes are a little little sexy fruit, too.
Yeah, feed me grapes like Caesar, baby.
Feed me grapes, absolutely.
Doesn't have to be strawberries.
No, not at all. Although strawberries are I think those are the one, they're red, so.
Yeah, this is how you seal the deal, all right? Rashad and Schultz are here to help you, you want to get freaky. Just kidding. Well, we're talking grape and strawberries, so I figured we should preface this with, I don't know.
No, yeah, you want to get freaky, definitely don't take your girl to a Blazer game, because that will do the opposite effect and kind of have her pissed off at you for the rest of the night. And so we will talk some Portland Trail Blazers here on Sports Sunday. It's not going to be all grapes and sugar-free stuff. So we're going to talk about these Blazers who've lost 6 of their last 7.
As they should. But they still have almost 30 wins already. So
they have almost 30 wins, so they can still get to that 35 win total that I said that they could get to at the end of the season. And that will kind of hopefully start with a win against Toronto tonight at 3:00 at the Moda Center. I think it's on KA2U. We will talk about the game. I think Jordan and I are going to go to that game.
Yeah, sounds like it. That should be fun, man.
Yeah, that should be a little fun. We can talk some NFL too, man. Free agency is up and moving. Things have changed within some divisions, and we'll talk about which teams in those divisions things are going to change the most for, who things kind of stayed the same for, and who is out of their damn minds by just doing silly stuff during free agency. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some NBA, too. Not sure what, but, there's always some stuff in the NBA to talk about.
Did you see the 5 technicals that the Pistons got, in one quarter last night?
No, I missed the game. After I got home from that wrestling tournament, I was man down.
No, that was a crazy one. Thunder beat the Pistons 113-107. Cade Cunningham got ejected. I think it was like 2 techs in 50 seconds. I mean, it was one of those where, and then
Was one of them Isaiah Stewart?
No, it was Dennis Schroeder for 2, Cade Cunningham for 2. I believe the whole team got one as well. And then I can't remember the third player that got one. But it was like the referees were blowing quick whistles. And if you said one thing, shut up, and then 40 seconds later, you're done.
Well, that's tight.
Almost like a Rasheed Wallace, you're out kind of a situation.
Because I definitely came to see the referee ref tonight. That's what I came to do. I didn't come to see All-Star Cade Cunningham.
Stud muffin.
Be on the floor.
Referee.
Yeah. I definitely didn't see.
Speaking of Cade Cunningham, he is him. Like, we need
he's one of those ones.
We need to start talking about the NBA with Cade Cunningham as a face of the league and being marketed internationally.
And I think you bring up a not even just Cade. I think we're experiencing a youth movement with some of the guys that are in the league now, these young bulls that are coming through and really starting to show their worth
as
leaders.
You look at
Shangoon in Houston.
Oh,
you pair that with a Jalen Green, who's also in Houston. You look at Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Williams, the Jalen Williams there in OKC. Like, you look around the league, it's the old guys at this point, with the exception of LeBron, that are, at the bottom of the standings, right? The Warriors are kind of struggling. They're definitely better now with that Jimmy Butler is there. But for a while, they were hovering right there around, 9-10, somewhere towards the bottom of the Western Conference, towards the bottom of the play-in, and now they're doing their thing. But for a while, up until they got saved by all-time great players in Luka and Jimmy Butler, like, the Lakers and the Warriors were kind of floundering, a little bit. This thing in Milwaukee hasn't gone as smoothly as we would all have thought it would, although they're playing well right now in Milwaukee, not as well as I think any of us thought they would. But so why don't we just get into that now? We're talking about it. Let's talk about the NBA, the state of the NBA, the young guys. Who are you most looking forward to seeing mature in the NBA, and who's going to be the face of this new National Basketball Association? We'll talk about that right here, Sports Sunday.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
915 on 316. On 1080 The Fan. NBA is the star of the show right now, now that the NFL is wrapped up. Although the NFL is never truly wrapped up.
It still kind of owns everything.
It kind of owns the, you know, I'm not sure what the ratings were for the Combine. I don't watch them, but I'm sure they were still probably the most watched thing on TV at some point. So we'll get to the NFL because, again, it never goes off. But the NBA is something people tend to get tired of. They tend to be tired of all the three-point shooting. They're kind of tired of seeing the same people, you know, compete for the finals. But hopefully we're experiencing kind of a change of the guard because these new guys in the NBA, some of them come to play. And I think it's only a matter of time that we have Steph and we have LeBron and we have obviously these, you know, all-time great players in the league. But people always talk about the face of the NBA, who's going to be the face of the NBA. And to me, it's... I mean, it's somebody that nobody's talking about ever, and I don't know why, because he may very well be the best player in the league and one of the best players, or at least top three, but I believe he's the most disrespected dude probably in the NBA's history, and that's Jason Tatum. I saw a stat the other day that said in his 7 years, he has more wins than anybody in history through their first 7 years. That's insane.
Pretty inarguable right there.
That means he's been really one of the top seeds in the conference every year since he started. He was in the playoffs as a rookie. Remember when he smashed on LeBron in that series against Cleveland?
Oh, he's been one of those players. So as soon as you got into the league, it was essentially like kind of like a Damian Lillard situation where like, okay, it's clicking. You know that he's going to be something. I don't think you saw him. I don't know if his top was a superstar, you know, NBA person like or player, excuse me. Like, but people were thinking that the ceiling was very high for Jason Tatum almost immediately entering the NBA.
So first season, average 13, you know, 14, pretty solid rookie numbers. Expect you to do some. Next season, you're having 15.7. still very solid, but you're putting up 6 rebounds. Next season, 23 and 7, 26 and 7, 26 and 8, 30 and 8, 26 and 8, 27 and 8. All the kid does is go out there and put up numbers and take his team to at least the conference finals, and finally was able to put the stamp on it last year. Here's a dude that led his team in points, rebounds, assists, and still didn't get finals MVP. Like, I mean, if that's not disrespect, I understand Jaylen Brown had some amazing moments in between there where he was able to hit big shots.
It's more so the memory of those, I think.
The memory of those, but let's not forget who got you to the dance, and that was Jason Tatum. People, he won a championship, and what do people do? Talk about his jump shot. Talk about his weirdest jump shot was. Like, that jump shot just won him a championship, but that was the focus for him. Even still, we're talking about the face of the league. His name almost never comes up. It's Anthony Edwards, who's definitely in the conversation. It's Luka, who's only 25. It's guys like Shea. How old is Jokic? Jokic is probably closer to like 30.
No,
like 30
he's
something
a
now.
Little bit older. I think he's like right in the middle of the. He is 30. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So I mean, of all those guys, man, I think Jason Tatum. He's the only proven winner out of any of those. Any of those guys that I named. Mind you, I think he has a better team than anybody else. And you have a guy like Jaylen Brown. But who would you say should be the face of the NBA? Mind you, he's a guy who doesn't get in trouble. He's good looking, so he's pretty marketable. He dates an international star. Oh, no. He dates a star in LMA. I was going to give her too much credit, but that's I'm not going to do that. But still a big enough star to where that's a thing and you guys, have a child together and everything. At this point, you're an NBA champion. You're a gold medalist, even though that was, again, you talk about the disrespect. Derek White is better than you in the Olympics? Word?
I mean, it's not necessarily it's the Olympics that we're talking about. So we're talking about like lineups, like fitting. And
what world would Derek White ever be over Jason Tatum in any lineup? It just doesn't make sense. There's nobody that's going to say, I'm going to put my 6'4 point guard out there as opposed to my 6'8 wing who can do everything. Nah, that doesn't make sense. There was some hate going on there from Steve Kerr, if you're asking me. Like, I thought it was weird.
Well, Steve Kerr's a point guard, and you have matchups. I agree, but at the same time, you can't have... I don't know. With the international style of game, I don't think Steve Kerr thought it was great to have.
What was Tyrese Halliburton? What was the excuse for Tyrese Halliburton? He was also a point guard, and he was a 6'8". He's a 6'5" point guard.
Still not a wing. So matches up a little bit better. I don't know if the rest of the international basketball world is as positionless as the NBA is. I think we're definitely we can go 5 guys of any height in the NBA now. There's really no true center to point guard unless you're like a Damian Lillard or Drew Holiday or Chris Paul. But yeah, I don't know. I'll defend Steve Kerr a little bit on this, but I hear your point.
Yeah, and at 6'8", 210, man, you can be 2, 3, 4 depending on who you're playing against. So I thought that was weird. But either way, Jason Tatum is the guy for me. I'm curious if Jordan. I'm sure you disagree, but.
I disagree only just, it's not because Jason Tatum is amazing, but I just saw Cade Cunningham less than a couple of weeks ago, and as I said to start the show, the words that were uttered out of my mouth when I saw him up close, he is him. That dude can do everything. He can create his own space. Yeah, I mean, obviously, and he fought through injury even, after all of those expectations to come and fulfill those expectations, probably more. He's averaging close to a double-double a game, almost dishing out 10 assists in the league now. Frankly, he's probably going to be one of those triple-double guys here as he develops further into his 20s. Like I said, and what I am most impressed with, because I feel like the other things that we saw from him in college, like we knew that he could pass, we knew that he was a hard-nosed player, but what we really didn't know was that he could score on this clip at an NBA level, and he absolutely can. He can create his own jumper. He can play the two-man game. He's great off the pick and roll.
Get to the bucket.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Three-pointers with guys right in your face. I saw him in a couple of those. I think he went off for 28 in Portland against, a pretty young, excited Portland team that night with Timani Kamara having a big dunk. Like it was a close game for a while. So I do think that just because I've seen him, Cade Cunningham is my guy as a pick as to why I would say that he's just the most talented young guy, and I don't know that he doesn't want it. Anthony Edwards, I've heard, not necessarily like the guy. Nobody told me that like I was like the person that was supposed to lead the NBA, is what we've been hearing from Anthony Edwards lately, that's going to be leading, you know, these young players in marketing and international media and stuff like that. And it's like, Ant, do you not understand like how you rose to prominence in the playoffs last year? It's frustrating when we get these young superstars that we can market a game around, like Mike Trout, for instance, like Anthony Edwards, and they have this in common. They don't want to be superstars, apparently, which is so frustrating. Because
I think they don't want the attention. Like, Mike Trout is one of those guys. I don't know if I've ever heard Mike Trout speak. You know what I mean? Like, he's that kind of, he's that to himself, and he's that kind of an introvert.
You make $40 million a year, you're going to get the attention.
Yeah, and I think some guys just want to play. Like, Kevin Durant is one of those dudes that, he was the face of the league, but he didn't really like it. He didn't really, you know, the face of the league at a point was Kevin Durant, LeBron, Steph. Like those three, that three-headed monster was considered, you know, the top of the pops as far as the NBA. And KD's like, man, I just want to chill. I just want to chill and hoop and smoke and play video games. That's my life. Like outside of that, KD has no, he don't have a girlfriend. You have a brush.
It's true.
You don't have like lotion to put on. He don't care. Like I care about hoop. I don't care about what people say.
And you see
that. I don't care about, you know, any of that stuff. And now that he's older, it's starting to come off like, oh, KD's, he's a jerk. He's this. It's like, man, no, I just don't care the way you want me to, like about being the face of the league.
But you still see it translate to success for him. And it's kind of hard for a guy to be the face of the league. I mean, I guess maybe this is tongue-in-cheek because LeBron has jumped from team to team, too. But Kevin Durant has jumped even more.
He's
in
like
more,
five teams.
Exactly. More often than LeBron James. And at least LeBron has been on the same team twice in that. But Kevin Durant's just been a hard star to market because he's literally been hopping. And he, to his credit, that ability to kind of hunker down and focus on nothing but basketball has allowed him to be a really good team player. He can work with anybody. He's a great leader, and he can, I mean, seriously, Rashad, if you could show up and host a radio show with anybody, program directors in this business would value you. And that's why Kevin Durant still has value in the NBA and probably past, you know, way past his prime, he will continue to have that.
And he can shoot. And he, you know, and it's one of those things. So KD is one of those guys that, again, kind of at a point he embraced being in that spotlight. Right. I think at a point when it first came, I remember there was a commercial with, it's called Hypo for the Hyperize shoe. And it was dope.
God,
they were rapping and stuff.
Yeah,
that was dope. I used to love that commercial. And so he used to be in all the stuff. And, you know, I want to say Gatorade or Powerade commercials. I can't remember. But he's become less and less visible, you know, in the marketing world than he was at the beginning of his career, because now I think he just doesn't care as much. Like, it's like, yeah, I just want to hoop and get this out of the way.
Well, they
got to have guys that more than, like, Shai Gilgeous, he's into fashion and stuff like that, but again, he just likes to hoop. Like, if it's not about fashion or anything else, like,
yeah,
I don't really care. Like, I just want to be out there and play basketball. And then you got guys like Jokic, who I feel like he's being held against his will here. Like, they've got something on his family because he doesn't really – he enjoys playing, but I don't think he cares either.
Well, they don't
see that stuff.
They don't have to care because, and we're going back to like my comment about the $40 million a year salary and the fact that they should care. Unfortunately, the reality is they don't have to. They're not making, I mean, you go look at the average salary in the NBA, Rashad. Michael Jordan, the best player in the league, I think it was special for him to get like a $20 million a year contract at one point from the Bulls, right? But before that, the best players are making $6, $7, $10 million a year, right? That's life-changing money, but and that was also actually not handed out nearly as often as it is now at the top of the NBA. But that's also, yeah, so guys are finding that success fewer and farther between in contracts with teams. So you necessarily, or you're not necessarily like happy sometimes that you got to go out and earn more money, but like you can, and by being a superstar in the league, that obviously gives you, you know, unlimited earning power. So,
and I think some dudes just don't.
Guys in the 90s were more willing to do that.
I think there are a lot of dudes that it sounds weird, and I know they care about money, but some of them don't. Like, the money that they're getting is like, this is obviously life changing money. Like, I can hoop. Like, I don't care about making extra. There's so many superstars that probably should have more commercials and more all these things, but some, I just, I don't, that doesn't matter, you know, to me. And I'm sure if you ask a lot of players what they like to be considered a superstar, yeah. If you've been on the, you know, second fiddle for so long, then yeah, of course I would like to be in that spotlight. Until you're there and at a point you're like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to do these early morning shoots and these late night things on the during the off season. I'm not with it.
Not so, everybody can be Kobe.
It's a job. It's a job. You have to be on. You can't. I was watching this thing about Kobe the other on Max, which wasn't awesome, but it was okay.
It was something to watch.
Yeah, but I mean, Kobe just he created this image for himself that he was squeaky clean and didn't care about anything else but, you know, with sports and everything, and you know, we found out that that wasn't necessarily true. And when we found out more about Kobe, it was like, oh, shoot. Like, and things got real invasive. I don't think if that would have been any other star or any other player in the NBA, do you think it would have got that attention that it did? Of course not. But the fact is, it was Kobe with this great image and everything. As soon as he got in trouble, it was Rap City. So I think a lot of players are seeing that, especially in this age of social media and how they do their athletes, how they do their superstars. Yeah, I don't want to be that. Anthony Edwards is in the news right now for not wanting to be father to his, you know, kid. Like, of course, the lady is a whatever you want to call it, you know, whatever, but you didn't use a condom.
It's like, bro, be smart.
It's 2025, man. Who's not using rubbers?
Like, I mean, I gave Anthony Simons the same crap for, like, it's like, bro, you literally entered the honeypot with Brandon Ingram. You decided to, like, go sleep with the same woman that has already done this to another NBA player. What the hell are you
women
doing?
Women outnumber
are
us
you stupid?
So much. By so much.
I get it. We're all ruled by down here and not up here, but stop for 5 seconds.
Just use a condom, bro.
Just, come on,
just
man.
Use a condom.
It's
just be smart.
It is, God. And then you hear these headlines, and maybe it's not a great thing that Anthony Edwards would be the face of the NBA, because trying to deny a kid, I mean, we all
not denying saying I'll pay child support, but I don't want no relationship.
No, you are
with
that
this
is
kid.
Still denying. Like, that is denying the kid.
I'll acknowledge
your presence.
That it's mine.
That's bullshit. That is, what a terrible person you
like
are.
That, so.
No, I don't need my time taken up by being a dad.
And it's going to take a lot of hit, a lot of crap for that for a long time. So I think he still can be the face because a lot of people just don't care about that, and they think this young lady is a jump off of,
well, of course
you
she
know,
is.
Whatever. I mean, and that
it takes
that,
two to tango.
That may very well be true, you know. But
both people can be stupid, Rashad. Not just one.
No,
right?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So,
and I'm
Davis,
not smart either. Yeah. You're talking to somebody that's made some dumb decisions in his life, okay? But not that dumb.
Hey, I mean, so he's still young though. He's only a kid, you know. So he's still got some time.
He's only
to,
a multimillionaire kid.
Yeah. Man. Hey, man, it happens. I mean, that's what happens when you're good at basketball and football. When you're 17, you know you're going to be a multimillionaire. So,
but Cade, that's my vote. Yeah. You say Tatum, I say Cade. I think either. I mean, frankly, if the NBA were like billing like a Cade versus Jason Tatum 3-point contest or some kind of 1-on-1, you know, at the All-Star game, I'd be down.
Yeah.
Like, screw teams.
Let's
playing each other
one.
At the All-Star game. Seriously,
let's
why not have one. A one-on-one tournament yeah. of the... I think I just saw the All-Star game. Let's have a one-on-one tournament of the best players in the league
that.
Against
they
each
wouldn't
other.
Do that.
That's stupid.
They wouldn't do
and,
that.
And yeah, you're right, because they already make too much money. There's no amount of money that would make them do it.
They'd
you're right,
exposed.
They would be exposed.
They'd be exposed.
Damn,
you
that
know,
would
one-on-one.
Be so... Wouldn't that
guys,
be fun, though?
Because in the NBA... Absolutely. Because in the NBA, like, if you talk to people, like... They will tell you the best one-on-one players aren't necessarily the stars
yeah.
on those teams.
A lot of those guys are just spot-up shooters.
My favorite one-on-one player in the NBA probably of all time is Michael Beasley.
Ooh.
And everybody that he's ever been on a team with will tell you Michael Beasley was that guy. Like, there's nothing. He could do everything. But for whatever reason, he just never got that all that opportunity to do it consistently on an NBA floor. So, yeah, I think that would expose a lot of people. So, but I would love to see Cade Cunningham versus
like LeBron or
yeah,
like some,
that would
just,
be dope. Nice
oh
little
God.
Round robin of the All-Stars that are selected. That would be dope. So, yeah, man, I was going to say there's an All-Star coming to town for Portland today, but Scottie Barnes is he's kind of an All-Star, but he was on the team once. So,
that technically counts as an All-Star.
But the Blazers are going to host. I'm not even sure who's on Toronto right now. I haven't seen a Toronto game all year. So, either way, the Blazers are going to host them at 3:00, and Jordan and I are going to go to the game. First, Jordan has SportsCenter.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want us to talk more sports, give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah!
Yeah. Happy 316, everybody. Stone Cold Steve Austin Day, I guess. Something like that. You know, they're selling t-shirts for this now.
Are they?
That's WWE cool. Is smart. They're going to make sure that they capitalize on everything that has to do with their superstars. And I want you guys to know, April 20th, I will not be here. I will not be in the studio, guys. I will be in Vegas for WrestleMania.
Ooh,
and hopefully, Stone Cold Steve Austin will be there. You know, I definitely know The Rock will be there. So I'd love to see Stone Cold come out and save the day against John Cena and Cody Rhodes. That would be awesome.
Cena as the villain.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's his farewell tour.
Right? Yeah, it's going to be a great night. So, man, and hopefully it'll be a great night tonight as people can go home happy, hopefully a little tipsy, and, you know, feeling good after a Blazer win.
Hell yeah.
Because tonight they host the 11th Toronto Raptors from the Eastern Conference. And honestly, these teams are probably comparable. They're probably the same. I think the Blazers have a better roster, you know, overall, but with everybody hurt, Scotty Barnes.
Hurt, quote unquote.
Yeah, right. Scotty Barnes is the lone all-star that's going to be on the floor for them tonight. And I believe he's playing this evening, but who knows? It's Portland. Brandon Ingram is also an all-star. Quietly has always been one of the top players in the league.
Scotty's not on the injury report.
Okay, good. Well, not good. I mean, I'll take him to be out, but the big question tonight is how do Blazers guard the length of Scotty Barnes and Brandon Ingram, especially if we know that you said Ayton is out.
Ayton's out. I believe that, let's see, bring up the injury report here. Jabari Walker is out.
Another big.
That's kind of an effect on their shooting because I believe he's one of the only people that's actually been hitting threes lately for the Blazers.
I know. Crazy.
Jabari coming off. And Anfernee Simons off the bench pretty successful lately. Anfernee Simons and Robert Williams game time decisions. So
you're talking about three of your bigs that are going to be out. And the one thing you don't need if you're Portland is to lose bigs because honestly, Scotty Barnes is he's an unorthodox player, but at the four he can do everything. He can shoot, he can dribble past you, can finish over the top of you. Like he's that good, you know, at this point. And so it doesn't look like I'm not seeing anything about. Yeah, so we'll see. I don't know. Like I think the Blazers have a great opportunity to kind of right the ship. Things have not been going well for them. Losers of six of their last seven. Losers of five in a row over the last little bit. So the wheels have kind of fallen off. The Blazers desperately need this game to kind of get things back on track.
I mean, yeah, I don't really care if they win or not. I'd prefer them to lose. But at this point, they've given up any chance. What do they have, like a 3% chance sitting where they are in the standings to get the number one overall pick. So I've kind of given up on that, not really caring if they win or not. I just want to see something positive from Shaden tonight. I might see Chris Boucher because the Toronto Raptors are so injured that the former Duck probably has been getting in all season for Toronto, probably going to get some minutes here in Oregon for any of you Ducky fans. So that's a reason to go tonight, I guess. But if Ant's not playing, you want Scoot to get 40 minutes. You want Donovan Klingon to get in there. You want to see the core of this young Blazers team. And essentially, that's what I want out of tonight's game. I don't care if it's a win or a loss. I want to see how Shaden, Donovan, and Scoot gel. I want to see if Chris Murray can actually do anything because that was the 23rd overall pick in the draft. And look at what he's done so far. Pretty empty.
Trash. He's
statistics.
Not his brother.
Yeah, no, he's not.
Not his
brother. He's had one or two good games in his career. Everybody said he was a shooter just like his brother. We ain't seen it. So I hope that we can see something from him, but beyond that, like I said, just the core of young guys. Denny Avdia, of course, he had another great game last week or a couple of games ago for Portland.
He's just inconsistent. That's Denny Avdia's thing.
I'm like, okay with him being that way, though, because he'll, you know, on a bad night, he'll still drop 15 for you.
No, that's, I'm not, it's not even that. It's just like sometimes our three-point shooting's a little iffy, streaky. Like some days it's on, other days it's not.
Oh yeah, the some game days I went
we have
to.
A, some days we have a we have trouble finishing at the rim.
They
it's
shot
like little 53s things like that.
Against Detroit, 15 of 50. You're right. It's bad.
Yeah. So I mean, but I think Denny Avia, the player I keep kind of saying, he's a taller Ginobili as far as how he moves and stuff like that. The only thing is he just doesn't finish the way I feel like he probably should. But mind you, I think the same thing we're saying about Chris Murray, we have to say about Denny Avia. Denny Avia is a second year player. You know, so this is really his. He was a rookie last year, right?
He's about 5 or 6 years in the league.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's a bit older than that. No, this is, I believe, his fifth season. He played like four seasons for
fourth season, excuse yeah. me. So he's still pretty young. He's only 24. So Avi is pretty young. Like, so he's still got an opportunity to be better than we're seeing right now. And I think honestly, one of the issues with the Blazers, and this is why we all thought a trade for Jeremy Grant or for anybody would have been good. There might be too many cooks in the kitchen.
So it's hard
to find your rhythm every single night when you've got six scores. And, you know, like I think Scoot has started to kind of fall into the position of defender with Kamara. And so, right. So now Scoot is kind of your best, like as far as your guards, you know, he's your best guard defender. And then as far as the wing, obviously, Kamara is your best defender there, you know, so, and then clinging down low. So I think if you can really start building with those three right there defensively, if you get three guys that really commit to the defensive end, really, really commit to the three defensive end, I think this Blazers team could be hard to stop. But the issue is for me, I think there's just too many scores and not enough people willing to take the lead as a defender to say, almost like on some AAU stuff. When you play AAU or when you play for the Olympics, better than that, like Kobe had to take a stance as I'm going to be the defender. Everybody knows I can score. Everybody knows I can do that. But who's playing defense? You know, Dwight's down low, but who's stopping anybody on the perimeter? We need somebody to come with that intensity. And it sounds like, Kamara has taken that lead as like the defensive anchor for this team. But you know, good defense leads to, you know, great offense in a lot of ways. And so if one of these guys can really commit to playing defense alongside Scoot and alongside Kamara, I think the Blazers would be hard to beat. And for a long time during that streak, we saw defense from everybody. And now I'm trying to figure out where that intensity kind of went for the team, because for that 10 of 11 game streak that they were on, the defense was great. That was the one thing they were hanging their hats on. And now it seems like they seem a little lost on D.
Yeah, and that's what we've been looking for years. It's what they needed during the Dame years. They needed a little bit more defense. And now we're seeing some of these young guys coming into their own. And I would say it's maybe more luck that Timani Kamara, you know, ended up in your lap as part of that DeAndre Ayton trade from Phoenix. And now he's literally probably, you could say, one of the best defenders, not just on the Blazers, but overall in the NBA.
Oh,
he leads
sure.
the league at taking charges. He's near the top in steals. Like, he is so good at just
keying. He's going to be first team.
And he's always on the best offensive player for the other team. It's that unquestionable matchup that, you know, every night, and Timani's going to be able to hold him down. So then you look at like a team like Toronto coming into town tonight, and if you can, you know, guard RJ Barrett if he does play, if you can guard Scotty Barnes' lockdown, essentially you're then forcing everybody else, Chris Boucher and the cast of whatever characters on Toronto, to try to beat you. And I think that's where the Blazers can succeed. But to Cy's point here on the YouTube says, yes, let's win and have worse odds at a number one pick. F logic and common sense. I'm with you, Cy. It is, I know there's, what, only 19 or so games left this year, but it is imperative that the Blazers still go for the best chance of the number one pick they can. So yeah, don't win tonight, please. Just don't.
Listen, I'm not going to act like I don't hear you.
I mean, then we end up with the Chris Murrays of the world, brother. Like, sometimes they hit with Shaden, but, like, I just, the building in the draft is a necessity to Portland's success, but you can't build a number three team in the Western Conference with 15th overall picks. You just can't do it.
Well, I mean, it depends on who that 15th pick ends up being. A lot of times that number one pick, number two pick, it's not the surefire thing that you're looking for sometimes. Sometimes it don't
it's
be like
It's not
that.
A sure Some, thing.
Sometimes, but sometimes you end up getting a Giannis at 15. You end up getting a Devin Booker at 14. You end up walking away with the CJ McCollum at 11. Like, I mean, so these guys are out there, you know, like deeper in the lottery. So not say that it can't happen, but there are lots of guys who've been drafted. You get a Kawhi late in the first round. Like these guys are definitely out there. And sometimes we don't know that they end up being Kawhi. We don't know that they're going to end up being Giannis. We have no idea. And that's kind of the crapshoot of the draft. That's the lottery. There's a reason we call it a lottery. Like could be good. It could be bad.
Portland just usually ends up with the Luke Babbitts of the world instead.
And so. I think that's the thing. Like Luke Babbitt was supposed to be good. I guess
he's a white kid out of Nevada.
White kids can hoop. What do you mean? What is Cooper Flagg?
He could shoot. Cooper Flagg
it's
can
like
hoop.
Every man. There's every white kid from Duke. Like, how many of those have we seen that if we're supposed to come to the NBA and be great? And they were. Not to say that he won't, but I'm just saying we don't know. Like, every time the first round pick, these are supposed to be a sure shot. And it's not that sometimes. And that's just, you know, kind of the luck of the draw, I suppose. So we'll wrap up this Blazer session next, man. 3 p.m. tip-off against the Toronto Raptors. Our predictions on this game. Coming up next, we're going to wrap up the first hour right here, 1080 The Fan. 9:50 right here on The Fan. Blazers try to get things going tonight with the win against Toronto. Toronto is without most of their team, so it looks like they're playing a lot of guys from the G League. This should be a W for Portland. However, they are the Blazers.
They don't want it to be.
And, you know, I'm not, at this point, I just want to know what their aim is. Tell us you're tanking for the season. If that's the case, it makes sense. Tell us you're going for it and you're trying to make the play in. Say something at this point. I think we're at this weird part of the season because the truth is, as bad as they're doing, they can still make the play in. They can. Like as bad as they are, they're not so far behind to
what,
where they're
four
can.
And a half out. Still?
Yeah, they can. They
yikes.
Yeah, I know that's crazy, right? But with 10 games left. Some of those games are incredibly winnable. Some of them are going to be a struggle. Toronto and Washington, those are two gimmies that you should get. Although Washington eked out a win last night. Those are ones you should get. You probably should beat Atlanta. You probably should beat Toronto again. You should definitely beat San Antonio.
Did you
Utah.
Say probably should beat Atlanta? I don't know about that.
I mean.
Rhys Asiyeh and Trae Young. I don't know about that, man.
I don't know. I love Trae. Trae is my guy. Again, one of those guys that one of the disrespected stars of the league.
He is.
But, you know, I think if they're playing, if they're really playing, then I think they can be better than Atlanta, you know, at this point. Should be a win against Chicago. Well, maybe. Yeah, probably against Chicago. Definitely against San Antonio without everybody. Definitely against Utah.
But, like, what's
like
it
six
all for?
Wins.
What is this all for?
It depends. That depends. It depends on that's where I'm confused now. Like, what exactly are we doing? Like, at one point during the season when they were losing, just losing, straight up losing, it was clear to see what the plan was. Now
you
it's like they're
at least happy. It's like, okay, we know what they're doing.
Now it's like they're kind of winning, they're kind of losing, but then they kind of want to win. So now I'm just kind of confused about what exactly the plan is supposed to be as far as, because if they're tanking at this point, they're at the point in the season with the schedule, because I only mentioned the teams that I think they can beat. I didn't mention the teams that I think they were going to, you know, I don't think they're going to beat Memphis, Denver, Boston, Cleveland.
And they play a couple of those twice.
Yeah.
So they played Boston once. They play them one more time.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think they're going to beat the Lakers, although the Lakers are probably sitting everybody at the end of the season for that one.
Depends,
it's going to be the last game of the season. I don't think, you know, they'll sit everybody. But I just want to know what they're doing. And I know they can't come out and just say, we're focused on the draft right now. Like, and that's all you have to say. Right now, we're just focused on, you know, finishing the season strong and focus on the draft. You say that, that lets me know that we're tanking. But if you're saying, we're like, you know, the playoffs is within reach. As soon as you mention the word playoffs, you're letting us know that this is something that we're fighting for. So now I'm just a little confused. Like, they're already sitting guys. You know, we know Ayton's not going to play. He's probably going to be shut down for the rest of the season.
Most likely.
You know, just tell me what we're doing, man.
Well, I think they...
Otherwise, I won't waste my time going to these games.
I think they risk sounding kind of stupid, Rashad, like they already did last summer. They kind of tried to hint at what maybe their plan was for the 24-25 season, and that's when you had the competing comments, essentially, by Joe Cronin, and then right after him, Chauncey Billups, in which Joe said, you know what, this is a rebuilding team. This is definitely a team that's starting to look at assets and try to give them some time to get better and build for the future. Right after that, Chauncey Billups follows up with, you know, I think think this is a young team that's full of a bunch of fighters and that they can actually make the playoffs. And we haven't heard anything as far like true stamp it in the ground statements from either Chauncey Billups or Joe Cronin. Obviously, Chauncey post-game is saying this team can fight. He believes this team is good. But you're asking about an organizational direction, and we haven't really heard that because I think they kind of made each other sound stupid last summer. And I wouldn't be surprised if whoever's giving advice on PR, whoever is telling the Blazers how to sound and what to say out on the mic, is saying, you know what, guys, that was pretty dumb. Let's just let the results, you know, play out, and we'll let that speak for itself.
We're
going to
sit everybody. We're going to sit you guys towards
the last
game.
And we're not going to say anything about it until after the season because they already looked dumb. They look dumb right now because they won 11 in a row, 10 out of 11, 11 out of 12, wherever it was. They kept themselves out of that first overall pick, or at least a shot at, or a much bigger shot at it. So you just got to let it play out. They've already dug themselves a hole, Rashad, and I think speaking out about this more would dig a bigger hole.
No, yeah, you're right. Like it's hasn't been handled well from Joe Cronin and the Blazer staff. We're again, I think we're all just kind of in the clouds right now, and I think that's why people are kind of off the Blazers. And my question is this: we're talking a lot about getting Cooper Flagg. What happens if we don't?
I mean, there's still great players.
That's the thing.
In the draft.
Right now, this whole thing that we're doing, this tanking, all this stuff. This is in hopes of getting this one guy. This isn't a draft like last year's to me, where there was 3, 4, 5 guys coming out to where you're like, all right, between Wembanyama, between Scoot, between my man in Charlotte, Brandon Williams. But like, okay, like there's some guys here at the top and towards the middle of the draft that like this could be franchise altering. And so far, I think Scoot has been okay. I think Scoot's been good. I think given his position, given the number of guards that are on this team, but he's shown me in his little 25 minutes that if he were a starter, Scoot could be 18 points a game, you know, a 9 assists or something like that, you know, some 2-3 steals. He's shown me that. I'm solid with Scoot like that.
Eventually, maybe, but I saw him not looking where he was throwing passes after driving to the hoop without any control. Yeah. It may just still be because he's young, but that dude is throwing passes to nobody.
But I see, I'm looking at the improvement. He's become a much better 3-point shooter all of a sudden. Much more confident 3-point shooter. I know when he's in the game, his defensive intensity isn't going to change. He's going to make things difficult for whatever guard he's guarding. And then he's still a solid, stocky, almost Darren Williams-esque kind of point guard that can bully you around and get to the rim if he really needs to. There's not a lot of guards stopping Scoot from getting to the cup. So I think given more time and as a starter or as the like lead guard, I think Scoot could be good. I think he could be really, really good. But
I still think he's more comparable to Antonio Daniels, but that is just me.
I don't know. I think that might be a little, you just don't like Scoot because Antonio Daniels is like, that's hate.
Well, because Antonio Daniels was a number 4 overall pick and they have the exact same body type. And if you go look at their highlights right next to each other, driving to the hoop, dishing it out, they look almost the same. The only difference in their game is basically the generation of basketball that we're playing in which they need guards to shoot. Back then, they didn't. And if you were, you know, like an Andre Miller type that you dished the ball out, they really, you know, they had you shoot a little bit, but your main job was to be a facilitator. And Scoot, they want him to facilitate, but they want him to shoot. And he literally looks like Antonio Daniels with the ability, not actual talent, but the ability by the coach given to him to shoot.
And I think that's the point I was making earlier about the draft.
Okay.
Because in college, Antonio Daniels was amazing.
He was.
And really, he had a solid NBA career. He wasn't, you know, he was never the starter. I really think that crossover from Allen Iverson.
He was a serviceable, you know, backup point guard. Yeah.
But I think he had a solid career. But again, that's kind of my point about the draft. Like, we don't know. Like, we don't know what's going to translate. We thought Christian Laettner was going to be again, you're coming from all this winning at Duke. You're doing all the stuff. You're beating these same guys. And what happened? Your teammate Grant Hill was the star. Like, and that's kind of the way it is sometimes. Like, we would never know when these guys come to the league. And so that's my big thing. Let's say they do suck for Cooper Flagg and he gets there and he's essentially, I don't know. He ends up being Chet Holmgren.
I know, but better to have loved and lost Rashad than to have not loved at all. And just to have a chance at that top pick, just to have a chance, I would have rather the Blazers drafted Greg Oden and it went down as it did. And everybody's disappointed. We find out, you know, that his body's not as good as it was.
We would have kept Kevin Durant anyway.
Well, but
the truth is, if you look at Kevin Durant's trajectory and what he did with his career, he wasn't staying here in Portland anyway. So you'd had him for 5-6 years.
Exactly.
And then he'd
have
shook.
Yeah. No. So going back and looking at that, I would rather them have that opportunity and screw it up, or things go wrong, or Greg Oden's body screws up on him. Unfortunately, you know,
you want to go through that heartbreak again?
I would rather have that chance than not have it at all. That heartbreak, go back to it. It is better to have loved and lost than to have not loved at all. So, yes, I would rather suffer that heartbreak as a Trailblazers fan with them in the conversation. If they got the number one overall pick this offseason, all the ESPN pundits talking about the young core plus a Cooper flag, instead of us having to sit here like trying to boost ourselves up on the thought of possible success from, like, I'd say, like, okay-level talent in the NBA, not star-level talent. Anthony Simons is good. He's not great.
I disagree.
And that's what we build all of our hope on usually here in Portland as Blazers fans. It's just building up this good player, not great player, thinking that he's going to be a five-time All-Star when he never is.
I disagree.
And they just never get there.
I disagree. I think he is one of those guys. I think as a starter, I think it's the same thing with Dame. Dame was just in a position here in the West to where for a long time I thought he would never make an All-Star team. And just because there's so many great guards in the West, and now that they don't go by point guard, two guard, they just point to both the best guard. It's like good guys are getting left out. How many snubs were there this year for the All-Star game? Trae Young was snubbed. Seriously? Leads the league in assists and averages like almost like 28 a game. He didn't make it?
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. Like, so there's too many guys, not enough spaces, you know, for the All-Star game. But the Blazers, they'll test out. We'll figure out what they're doing tonight. Today will give us a great indication of where the season goes, because I believe they should beat Toronto. I believe without all the Toronto's, you know, great players, it should be a relatively easy night for the Blazers. So this game will tell us a lot about how the rest of the season goes. Want to move on to football?
Yeah, gosh, we talked a lot of basketball. Let's go NFL, baby.
Well, NFL is currently in their free agency stage. There has been a lot of changes around the league, and we'll talk about some of those when we come back for the second hour, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Dude.
I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skidmark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he ate playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour two of two, right here, 1080 The Fan. What's up, Jordan? How you doing,
bro? What up? Sunday, no sleep, punchy, doing all right, though.
I'm right there with you, man. I could use like another couple hours, you know, but I'm going to go home and I got to have to work out and kind of get my mind and body right and everything like that. And so, yeah, man, we're pushing through it, though.
Yes, sir.
Pushing through it today, man. Lots of news in the NFL, you know, if... you've seen some of the trades and everything weren't enough. Free agency is up and running. Not too huge names that are on the move, but definitely some teams making some upgrades and really some downgrades, you know, in a lot of places. And we're just going to go through a few of those. And Jordan, just kind of tell me what you think. And I'm just kind of going to talk about the ones that are really kind of moving, you know, people. You know, I guess the first one was started up top. Arizona Cardinals signed edge rusher Josh Sweat. 4 years, $76 million. You know, they definitely could use more defense. And obviously you got things going well you know, Kyler Murray always kind of plays well, you know, right? And I think really just not having a great defense around him a lot of times kind of prevents him from being considered as good as he actually could be. So I think signing an edge rusher like Josh Sweat was huge for this Cardinals squad.
Oh, yeah. No, he's one of the best at pressuring the quarterback in the last few seasons, and the Cardinals have been lacking at that. So nice to see him reunite with Jonathan Gannon in Arizona. Absolutely.
The Falcons are smart and re-signed their left tackle, Jake Matthews, a couple years, $45 million. That's a lot for an extension.
But you got to protect a young quarterback, that's what you need to do.
And you got to give your veteran quarterback, your backup, $10 million extra dollars?
Yeah, so the Atlanta Falcons let a date pass without trading Kirk Cousins, in which they were forced to pay him a $10 million roster bonus. I believe it was like March 13th or 14th, so that would have been Thursday or Friday. So they've got Michael Penix Jr., who they said is their quarterback of the future, and frankly the present, since they started him the last three games of the year, right? They said they've moved on from Kirk Cousins, yet they pay him a $10 million roster bonus.
It's going to be like a coach or something here in a minute. They're about to make Kirkers a quarterback's coach.
I'm shocked that nobody came calling offering at least a fourth-round pick, or I mean, I don't know if Atlanta called and tried to offer that to anybody. I know that the quarterback carousel isn't quite done turning yet. You kind of wonder maybe where the Pittsburgh Steelers are going. Where could, like, could the New York Jets still make a move for a backup quarterback or something like that? There's still some destinations that need to be filled. So right. I'm just shocked that Kirk Cousins isn't available or isn't on the trade market. It's crazy.
Well, we know where Josh Allen is going, and that's straight to the biznank with that $330 million extension that he got, man. So the Bills got their trigger man for a little bit. But they also kept Khalil Shakir. A 4 years, $60 million, you know, so he needs people to throw to, you know, at this point. They also re-signed Greg Russo, I think it is. Yeah, and so 4 years, $80 million, edge rusher. A lot of things went well for this Bills team. It looks like they're going to come back and kind of reload because they did ask Josh Palmer, you know, receiver, for a little over $30 million and stuff like that. So they're, you know, I think they're going to be the Bills. They're going to be competitive. Yeah. They're going to be exactly what we kind of think they are, just because they still have Josh Allen, and barring, and I'm knocking on faux wood here, barring some type of injury, I don't expect the Bills to let go of that AFC East.
No, they have a nice addition as well that they made this last week in Joey Bosa.
Joey Bosa
another
was
edge
big
rusher
for a
coming
year.
In. And it's essentially in the AFC, you're trying to unseat Kansas City, and Buffalo has been close to doing so. They've been right there.
Should
Josh
this
Allen
year,
coming off. Yeah, exactly. They whatever. Probably should have Josh Allen coming off of an MVP season. Buffalo going all in. They're continuing to reload with the right players, trying to do anything they can to get over on Kansas City. They feel like they are closer than ever, which is why you're seeing an even bigger push this offseason than I think you've seen before from Buffalo. So I'm actually pretty impressed with Buffalo's offseason. If you're asking me, like, oh, a grade for them, I'd give them an A, probably an A+.
Yeah, no, and it's not over yet. There's still some pieces out there that they could potentially add. For Carolina, they went ahead and went with defense. J.C. Horn. 4 years, $100 million. They're really looking at keeping defense. They also re-signed Michael Jackson for 2 years, $14 million. They kept Andy Dalton though as well. You know, so they know who their quarterback is going to be moving forward. I don't really expect much from Carolina, and I think they have to make some more huge moves in free agency and make a big splash in the draft for them to be able to kind of take that next step as a legit franchise.
Yeah, Carolina was one of the worst defensive teams in the league last year, so they want to get better quickly, and obviously one way to do so is by signing an impact corner like Horn. And then yesterday, they signed a kid, Chadenson Mountains, offensive tackle, 4 years, $95 million, so they got more help for Bryce Young. So it seems to be actually like good moves coming out of Carolina, which I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of shocked. Like, I'm talking about the right moves for the Panthers. This is weird.
Is Bryce Young going to be the guy as they move forward
there? I mean, they're going to look at him as that, yeah, because he actually had success under Canales last season. There seemed to be some growth. I can't remember who their offensive coordinator is, but hey, the short guy settled in, and he was making some good throws to end the season. I'm looking like a terrible NFL prognosticator here. Bryce Young might actually be something in Carolina, and if he's got protection, if they give him time to throw the ball, but yeah, that there could be at least some success here in the future for Bryce Young at Carolina, and I would be shocked if they didn't go with him.
Oh, yeah. So we'll see what happens with Bryce Young. But for another young quarterback in Chicago, a guy that won the Heisman, named Caleb Williams, he had to have been super excited after a big trade happened, because Chicago Bears traded for Joe Tooney from the Chiefs, one of the best offensive linemen in all of football, and now he plays for the Chicago Bears along with Jonah Jackson from the Rams, who was also traded to the Bears. The Bears are doing their very best to make sure they take care of their young asset and their quarterback. I think it's always great when you go veteran offensive linemen. I think veteran offensive linemen know better how to prepare. There's no learning curve there for a lot of them, as opposed to taking an offensive lineman out of the draft, which I kind of wish the Patriots would have went ahead and just, you know, signed some offensive linemen, as opposed to, I think we're going to take a chance in the first round that the fourth pick with an offensive lineman, which I'm not crazy about, but I also understand. But if you can get a couple veterans to come in and protect your young quarterback, I think that's a huge W.
Absolutely. Another good move. It seems like there are a lot of moves actually being made correctly by teams this offseason.
Yeah.
So people are getting smarter.
One of the ones is not as, I don't know if it's as correct as you might think, but Cincinnati Bengals retained T. Higgins. Now, it's a franchise tag.
They said they were going to.
For the second one. Yeah, it's a second one, but if I'm T. Higgins, that relationship is probably fractured, and I don't want to come back to Cincinnati.
That's tough, because they already said they were going to make Ja'Marr Chase the highest-paid non-quarterback in NFL history, which now they've got to give him about $5 or $6 more million a year to make that happen after the recent Max Crosby, and then who, I can't remember who reset the record like 2 days later, but it's probably going to go up to $50 million, the salary for a non-quarterback highest-paid player in NFL history. So going to be interesting to see how much money the Bengals dole out. They are one of the cheaper organizations in the NFL, and frankly, I'm shocked. I know they got Joe Burrow, but I'm shocked that both wide receivers still even want to play in Cincinnati. Just hearing about how crappy it is to be on their team. Their facilities are S. They don't really have a great weight room. They don't have a great training room. They don't really have great facilities to work out at in the preseason. It's just kind of like they don't have great food to eat. It's just kind of like you show up to a building and you work. And that's not how an NFL team's supposed to go. And I'm shocked that the Bengals are even discussing handing out this amount of money.
Well, they are the Bengals. A couple more here before we get ready to break. Kenny Pickett traded to Cleveland from the Eagles. He may be the Browns' starting quarterback as they move forward if they don't go young quarterback, which I'm pretty sure they will go Cam Ward in the draft. They also obviously re-signed Myles Garrett to that big $160 million deal worth 4 years. So they've done some, the Browns are at least, looks like they're at least trying a little bit more than maybe, say, the Cowboys or, some other teams that are out there. But there's some big changes coming around the league. A lot of those changes coming right here within the Northwest. So next, let's talk about the Seahawks. Let's talk about the Seahawks and all of their dealings they've had over the last few days during free agency and trades. We'll talk about that next right here, Sports Sunday on the Fan. Things moving pretty fast up in Seattle, up in Emerald City. Free agency has kind of come, and things started with DK really saying that I'm requesting a trade. And I think a lot of us kind of thought it was a bluff a little bit. Like, I'm requesting a trade means pay me more money or something. And sure enough, within a couple days, DK Metcalf was traded to the Rams. Where's he at now?
DK Metcalf is now a Pittsburgh Steeler.
That's right. Steelers are having a great offseason, so far.
Still don't really have a quarterback.
But they still don't have a quarterback, but there's options out there for the Steelers. And if they – is Danger Wilson still available?
Oh, yeah. Danger
Wilson
there.
Can definitely come in.
Unlimited.
Yeah, Seattle. Yeah. But Seattle is making moves. I'm not sure, and mind you, I'm not a Seahawks fan, so I can't tell you whether they feel like these are good or bad moves right now. But the first move was something that I think none of us saw coming, and that was them paying Sam Darnold more money than I think any of us thought that he'd get. I think we were kind of talking on the show once before, and we said Sam Darnold probably it'd be a shock if he got more than $50 million. And the Seahawks said, shoot, we'll give you 100. 100.3.
Over 3 seasons, yeah.
Over 3 seasons. And so Sam Darnold is now the trigger man for the Seattle Seahawks right now, kind of taking over, officially ending the Geno Smith era in Seattle. I think Sam Darnold finally had the year that we thought he would have when he was at USC. When he was there, I think he was a sure shot as a quarterback. And then he got to the league and he struggled a little bit. And he couldn't really get his footing underneath him. And he just kind of floundered. And then all of a sudden he had this resurrection of sorts in Minnesota. And people think Sam Darnold is worth the money. Well, now the Seahawks have paid him handsomely for the next 3 years to be their guy. I'm not sure what the risk is, but I know that Clint Kubiak, you know, the new offensive coordinator, you know, in Seattle, seems to like what he sees from Sam Darnold, what he saw from Sam Darnold. And if he can do what he did with Kevin O'Connell, or what Kevin O'Connell did last season, maybe the Seahawks, you know, have an opportunity to do something, you know, with this year with Sam Darnold. I'm going to hold off on judgment yet because it's only been one great season for Sam Darnold before he's, you know, kind of gotten this big bag. But if you're looking at an opportunity to really start writing your story, I think last year was chapter one for Sam Darnold. This can be, we'll get a chance to figure out exactly who you are as a player and as a quarterback, really, I think, within the first year here at Seattle.
I agree, and it's definitely a point of transition for Seattle, but I think the Seahawks fans still see that the team is trying to win now. This isn't necessarily a rebuild that they're doing, you know, that they have basically changed up their entire offense. It's been kind of a set cast of characters for the past few years, so I think it's really hard for Seattle fans to, like, get past the fact that DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett,
you lost some iconic players from Seattle.
It reminds me of, you know, 10 years ago when the guys like Bobby Wagner and Richard Sherman started leaving the Seahawks, and you just started to feel like, well, that great team is starting to break up, and Seahawks fans were upset but can't do anything about it. And nostalgia always rules. I get that, but in this point of transition, you're accomplishing a couple of things. You're getting a little bit younger at the quarterback position. You're paying him near what you would have paid Geno Smith. And you're also getting a little bit cheaper at wide receiver. I know Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Cooper Kupp are making significantly less money than Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf are. DK, we saw his deal, 5 years, $150 million. And then I can't remember who has signed Lockett or where he signed yet or if he has. But both of those guys, even before they were looked at as options for other team, were going to be in the top 5% of NFL salary for wide receivers, right?
For sure.
The Seahawks knew that they were going to have to pay these guys out. So they're like, you know what? We're going to try to bring in some talent, and we still want to win, but we're going to do it a little bit cheaper, and we've got to reformulate it. I understand that they had a nice season last year, not as good as they wanted. Geno Smith is a great quarterback, and frankly, probably a better quarterback than Sam Darnold. And I don't say great overall. I mean great at coming back.
Yeah,
he's good, but he is great.
One of the best comebacks in the league.
Exactly. Yeah, he is a great comeback quarterback. He is good at leading his team in the fourth quarter to a win. I'm not sure Sam Darnold can do that. Overall, I think Geno Smith is better at football. But the Seahawks did get cheaper, and it sounds like from going to offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb to Clint Kubiak, they're making their offense a little bit simpler. It was on Geno out of the shotgun last year to identify what was happening, and it was a lot of decisions for the quarterback at the moment. And it sounds like under Kubiak, they're going to bring Darnold under center. They're going to have a little bit more because we haven't seen these signings yet, but they're planning on having a little bit more power on the offensive line, maybe executing that gap scheme a little bit with Sam Darnold under center and make it a lot simpler for the quarterback going forward. And I think, who knows, could that translate to positive results? I think so, but I do like these signings. It's not the best offseason in the world for Seattle, but if you had to reformulate and continue to try to win, I think this is probably like the best kind of offseason that you could have had in that regard in a vacuum.
No, yeah, for sure. You mentioned Cooper Kupp signing 3 years, $45 million to stay in Seattle, or to come to Seattle, excuse me.
Come home.
And, you know, somebody who went to Eastern Washington and was a beast and really kind of cut his teeth, you know, up there in Seattle, and was a great player, you know, and he's one of the guys from those smaller schools that kind of showed that these guys from small schools can come to the NFL and do major, major work. And he just happened to be kind of one of them. But yeah, you pair Cooper Kupp with the Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who's 6'4". And like 210. So he's not a small dude.
Nope.
And really, when you lose a DK Metcalf, like, who is a big target for you to have, Valdez-Scantling averages like 17 yards a catch. So he's going to get you a first down or somewhere close to it. And so if Sam Darnold can be accurate, you've got a guy in Cooper Kupp that can run routes and take things across the middle and hopefully maybe still break free for something big. And then you got Valdes-Scantling. So you can really, you've really filled those slots that you had with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. Are they as good as either one? I think Cooper Kupp is better than what Tyler Lockett was right now. I think DK Metcalf is still better than Valdes-Scantling, but the fact that you have a legit 6'4" receiver that you can throw to that can go deep and can get in the end zone, I think that's a great thing for us. So we'll wrap up our talk about the Seahawks coming up next. They made some moves on the defensive end and on the offensive line. And we'll talk about that next when we come back. But first, Jordan Sports. You know what? I decided to pivot. We're not going to talk about the rest of the Seahawks free agency because, you know, outside of signing DeMarcus Lawrence, I don't know if there is any other splashes, you know, so far as free agency or trades right now. 3 years, $42 million for DeMarcus Lawrence, a D-end that's going to be playing, you know, edge rusher for this Seahawks team now. But all that said, so now you've got two new receivers, you've got a new quarterback, you've got new pieces on the offensive and defensive line. What do you expect from the Seahawks this year? It's tough to say that they're going to be the best team in the conference, just considering the Rams and them signing.
You mean the division?
A division. I'm so
it's all good. It's the like division. The conference. Ooh,
yeah,
that's
the division. The conference is, I mean, we never know. The NFC is always kind of a crapshoot.
Kind of weak right now.
I mean, so we don't really know exactly where we're going to get from. The AFC is more so, we know the three teams up top in the AFC. We know they're going to be the Bills, it's going to be the Ravens, it's going to be the Chiefs. This year it was Philadelphia from the NFC. Last year it was the 49ers. The year before that it was
Detroit's been up there the last few seasons.
So I mean, so we don't really know exactly who's going to be the top of the standings at that point. But considering the Seahawks' moves so far, mind you, we haven't gotten to the draft. Free agency isn't closed. There can still be trades made. So, but at this point in the season or at this point in the offseason, Jordan, where would you put the Seahawks' offseason grade?
I mean, probably like a B, maybe. Yeah, I just write it a B. I don't think that they've gotten worse, right? They've managed to, while subtracting
fill
talent,
some holes.
Still fill some holes, still add some talent back into those spots. And like we were talking about in the last segment, essentially trying to rework their offense. It just didn't move like they wanted it to last year. And credit to Mike McDonald, who is a defensive guy, finding a new way to go, just immediately moving off of Ryan Grubb and saying, this isn't working. You know, we've seen, and once again, credit to him, the NFL window of opportunity for coaches shrank. You know, it used to be maybe 4 years,
now
maybe three.
Yeah,
now it's down to two. And close to a winning season or a winning season last year for Seattle, even after that, firing an offensive coordinator and making such a significant change, I think shows some balls on McDonald's part. And, I mean, I think, yeah, the offseason, I give them a B. So far, as far as competing next year in the NFC West, the Rams, they still reloaded. You know, they got rid of Cooper Kupp, and I do like Cooper Kupp, but Cooper, for instance, wasn't playing in as many games in these last few seasons. However, he is still productive, and that's why the Rams wanted to move off of him. I still think he's a little young to move off of him, but they did replace Cooper by signing Davante Adams, who has been on the field. I know that the Jets, I would say they kind of made Davante Adams look not as useful because they just weren't as good.
Because they're the Jets.
And everybody.
And the Raiders. Like, the both teams that he was on, it was like.
Exactly.
You have this Ferrari, and you just keep them in the garage and just drive it around the block once a week. Like, that's not how you use a Ferrari.
And if you remember in the NFL Netflix documentary Receivers, Davante Adams was one of those featured receivers, very, very pissed in, I think it was the first or second episode of that season, because he wasn't getting thrown to, because he was getting missed on wide open balls. And he's like, what am I here to do? I'm here to catch it, and I'm here to take it for freaking six, and you're not allowing me to
do
that.
You don't all of a sudden just forget how to play football.
Exactly.
Like, you know those skills don't just go away within a year. Like, no, something's preventing you from being the best you can be. And that was terrible quarterback play and, you know, a terrible
coaching.
Terrible offensive line.
And Devontae's still only 30. He's got production left. So I think the Rams, they were willing to re-up with Matt Stafford. They believe he's still got a year or two left in the tank. They still have Kyren Williams at running back. Their offensive line's still strong. They still have Verse on the defensive line. They've still got a great linebacking core as well. Like, I see the Rams most likely at the top of the division in the NFC West, and that's not just because I'm a Rams fan. I see Seattle, though, probably a close second. I don't see San Francisco advancing like they have in years past. I see possibly maybe another static season or even a regression. I know that people are questioning whether or not Brock Purdy's going to get paid. I think they will pay him. I don't know what, but they just don't have the weapons that they have before. Debo's gone. Brandon Ayuk's probably going to be gone. So you're leaning on George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey and whoever the hell you bring in. So I say it's the Rams, but the Seahawks, probably a close second.
Yeah, I still say it's the Rams, and, you know, it's still surprising to me that, you know, they released the Cooper Kupp, and, you know, again, they did sign Devontae Adams, so that definitely fills that void immediately. But it was weird when they were talking about moving on from Matt Stafford, because I saw how hard this team played last year, sans Aaron Donald, which we all thought that there's no way this defense is going to be anywhere near as competitive without him, and they were, you know, and you look back at the playoffs. And we keep, and I don't know if this is something to hang your hats on. It almost kind of feels like when the Trailblazers went against the Mavericks in the 2011 playoffs, and everybody kept pointing back to the fact that, yeah, the Mavericks won the championship, but the Blazers gave them the best series. Like, that was the one. You look back at the playoff run for Philadelphia,
it doesn't matter.
And you look back and you say, man, the Rams weren't the team that was supposed to give them the best game, but the Rams are the team that put up the best fight. And maybe we should run this back. Maybe let's try to bring as much as we can back. And now when you add, and to me, I love Cooper Kupp, but Devontae Adams is an upgrade. Let's just be completely honest with each other. You know, that's
you
just
put him next to Puka Nacua. Like,
come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. And Matt Stafford is going to have no problem throwing the ball deep to him or throwing the ball wherever he wants to. So I would agree with you and still say the Rams are the team to beat in the division. But right behind that is the Seahawks. And sneaky, the team that's sneaky is going to be Arizona. We don't know exactly who Arizona is. They don't have an identity just yet. And as soon as they figure out who they are, I think it could be a good thing. But for right now, I just don't think we've seen enough from Arizona to, you know what I mean? Like, maybe I'm wrong.
Well,
I just don't trust, you know, that I can say, yeah, I think the Cardinals are going to be the second team in the division round. Even though for a while last year, they were, you know, a good team in the division.
I mean, their defense has been on the weaker side. Yeah, you like to see Marvin Harrison actually get on the field with Kyler Murray, but you also wonder how much longer Kyler Murray's going to have a leash in the NFL. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Arizona, after this season, if
moves
it doesn't
forward.
Go well, moves forward, cuts bait from him, and then you got to find a new quarterback, and Arizona's right back at the bottom of the game. But when you got Fisk, when you got Verse for the Rams that are basically replacing Aaron Donald and making them just as good, surprisingly, mind you, I mean, coming into this season without Aaron Donald, or last season, I should say, in 2024, nobody thought the Rams were going to have more than like 6 or 7 wins. But like you say, they decide to run it back with Stafford. They have all these pieces that they're able to bring back. And then they, in my opinion, improve at the wide receiver position with Devontae Adams over Cooper Kupp. Yeah, you're going to be on top of the division, no problem. But hey, Seattle, they're fighting. They've made the right moves. They're able to upgrade without spending the amount of money that they had to on these other players, and be in a position to where they still think they're going to win. So, yeah, I'm impressed. But as far as Arizona goes, I mean, I'm not really looking for them to do anything. If they do, it'll be a shocker, and I'll just be like, where the hell did they come from?
Yeah.
And then as far as the Niners go, they've got a good defensive team as well. I mean, I know that they got rid of Hargrave, but it's because
they let go of a lot of people. Greenwall. They let go of some pretty –
No, it is Great Wall. It's Great Wall.
Is it?
It's Great Wall, and it was Javon Hargrave. Okay. And Hargrave's gone too. So,
and they let go. Those are pretty important pieces to your team. And I just don't think that those are pieces you just let go of. And mind you, they've already lost Debo Samuel. So that's a huge, huge blow to them. Is Christian McCaffrey going to be healthy for the season? That's always a question, you know, and every year. So I think the Seahawks have a lot more. You know, what are you going to get from Brock Purdy? Is he, you know, really Mr. Irrelevant, or, you know, can he lead a team to some victories? Or is he going to be able to throw some guys open every now and then?
Like, you're going to get to see now, like, what he would have done with an offense that looks more average in the NFL, mm-hmm. as opposed to loaded
super
in every
human.
Position.
You just know, absolutely.
You know, I'm trying to think of, like, a more, like, the Cowboys offense. You would see what Brock Purdy could do with the Cowboys offense, I think, because they've got, you know, a wide receiver. They haven't really had running backs. Like, and the Niners now are going to be coming to the table with half an offense. They have been loaded at every freaking position, and now it's going to be like, insert guy here.
They got to figure it out.
And that, got to love parity in the NFL. That is the beautiful thing. Dynasties, unless you're Tom Brady and want to take a pay cut, and you know, for the Patriots, and unless you're Patrick Mahomes and you want to take a pay cut for the Chiefs, which he did this offseason, and they cleared up $45.5 million of cap space.
Signed like $250 or something, stupid.
I know he did, but he gave the Chiefs back some cap space in return for a bonus, and because they're doing that, they're able to still sign talent. But hey, because Brock Purdy was already on that cheap deal, and all of these other offensive pieces aren't willing to take a discount, Debo wanted to get paid. Ayuk needed to get paid. McCaffrey already got paid. Kittle already got paid.
That was the great thing about being a Patriot fan, is that Brady was never the highest paid anything ever at any point in the league. And so,
MFers.
Seriously, just make sure, like, I'll give money back to keep these guys in place. And until you see guys, and that's why the Chiefs are great now, Patrick Mahomes is willing to say, yeah, I'll give some money back to make sure we can take care of some people and keep them around. I would rather win, because I know if I win, I get paid other ways. I get money, you know, from a lot of other venues if I decide to go ahead and give some money back. So the Seahawks are moving. Things are going. We'll see how they fare in the draft coming up here in a couple weeks. So, man, you ready to wrap it up, bro?
Yeah, this is it's been a quick show.
Yeah, in and out. In and out like a robbery, man. We're going to come back, wrap it all up right here, Sports Sunday on The Fan. We wrap things up right here. Another episode of Sports Sunday in the books. This game should be cool. I don't know. I guess, you know, pretty okay seats. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's
nice
not.
Nice thing about Moda is that there aren't really too many bad seats.
There are very few bad seats in the Moda. I actually got a ticket one time for SRO, and I didn't realize on the ticket what SRO meant.
Standing, your old standing room only, sir.
Man, I got to there. I was wondering, I was like, man, where's the seat? Like,
where's the SRO?
Where's the SRO section? And I figured it out. And it was the row right behind the last row. And I was just kind of standing there the whole time. I was like, yeah, this is not fun. I sat on the steps next to the people in the row. I was like, hey, what's up, guys? You mind if I sit here? Yeah, cool.
That's like, so I'm assuming, because I've sat way back when they used to do the Pape Jam, back when it was called the Rose Garden, when Oregon would host, like, you know, a big college team and do a big college basketball matchup there for the men's and women's at Moda. I sat on the very end of, like, the back row. Like, these are the cheapest tickets that you could buy in the entire Moda. When you see the $1 tickets or the $2 tickets, it's the very corner, so it's the worst angle on the hoop that you can get in the entire arena, and it was at the very back against the wall. But I guess they removed all of those foldable seats and put up just like nothing, so you could have people standing there. They have now jammed people standing in that area above all the seats instead of seats to get more money. Wow, that's kind of nuts.
That's, I mean, listen, I'll go to the games, but Motor City don't get none of my money.
No.
I'm not, you know, for $15.
No, I bought mine from a season ticket holder.
$15 beers? Word?
It's a lot. I can get $5 Miller High Life's up at T-Mobile Park. Shout out to my Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, right. But $17, like, cocktails? Like, come on, man. Like,
the
what
Moda
are we doing?
And the Portland Trailblazers, that is one thing that sports has started to get correct. And it started, I believe, with when the new stadium, we were talking about the Falcons.
Was Atlanta? Yeah.
Yeah, earlier. But it was a Mercedes-Benz Stadium at the time. And Falcons owner Arthur Blank said, I want to make it accessible for everyone to come to my stadium and
NFL
watch
tickets
the Falcons
are crazy expensive
because
he knows
that those tickets are expensive. So, and he made it a point, when fans come into my stadium, they'll at least be able to eat and they'll be able to drink for a decent price, for a cost that won't break the bank. You can bring a family of four. They had hot dogs for $2-3, nachos for $3-4, refillable beverages. You could spend $3 at a sporting event, go get a Coke and refill it for the entire game.
So Moda Center has one card on, like, the three, one, like, kind of restaurant, like, on the 300 level, and it's burgers and stuff.
Yeah,
but it's like $6 for a burger, like $4 for fries and stuff.
Where
like that.
It
was like,
what?
It's on the second. It's on the 300 level, and I saw it and I was like, that's great. Like,
they
awesome.
Need more.
So
I was able
to get a full, like, me and my son was able to get a full meal. For burger, fries, soda for like $20, which was awesome. So if they keep doing that everywhere, then they'll definitely get more and more of my money. But
T-Mobile did it. They thankfully do it up here in the PNW. They do all kinds of food specials. Same thing as Atlanta. You can get, you know, Red Ropes for $3, nachos for $4. I get my Miller High Lifes for $5 a piece.
Miller High Life, champagne of beers.
Damn right. I love going to T-Mobile because I know I'm getting it out of there drinking wise for under $40 in a day. It's fantastic. You can't say that for any other sporting event. It's fantastic.
No, you really can't. So,
like, even with a tip, and that is another thing. On top of all the extremely high food prices now. Yeah, when I go to Moda, when I go to T-Mobile, instead of just swiping your card, they ask for, and not just like a 15% tip, like a 20 or 25% tip. And it's like, you just handed me food from the little slide rack behind you. In what world do you think that I should be tipping you extra for that? Please.
Yeah. I don't know. It depends on how nice you were. If you were super cool to me and, you know, some, or if you poured my drink and you were a little heavy-handed with the drink and you pour a little more.
Yeah, I got you.
You know, not a problem. You ain't got to think about that. But if you gave me some skimpy ass little half a shot and everything, and then now they want to put ice in it. They have to put ice. So I ask for just one cube of ice, you know, if that's the case. But
the light ice, please.
If that's the case, then man, yeah, I'll plug you if you, you know, pour me a nice stiff drink. But if you're gonna pour some BS, then thank you so much. I appreciate it.
They make it hard, too, because you got to, like, go either cancel or what I'll do is there's a button where it says custom tip amount, and I'll just do zero. Like, yeah. I'm so tired of this. I am freaking done.
Yeah.
And I've seen places, like, I haven't been to these in person, but on social media, people will post a picture of, like, the zero will be covered up with, like, a sticker that says, like, please tip. And I literally, at that point, I think I'd confront the waitress or the barista and just be like, this is ridiculous. Like, I need to see your manager. The fact that they're not paying you enough to actually, like, serve coffee here and you expect me to pay what's on top of the sticker price every time. I'm not going to a sit-down restaurant.
You know who's getting out of line with the tips, though, or asking for tips, is Uber Eats and DoorDash deliveries. The number one, I want to start by saying this, man. I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
They
you
work know, hard
for doing that. Absolutely.
Although, stop forgetting people's drinks, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Or you're just drinking it yourself.
Like, that no seems to be what happens.
And then all of a sudden, you just keep my drink. And
if you order a drink.
Oh, I didn't order it. You didn't order a drink. Like, whatever. Right, but here, this thing, every order doesn't have to be picked up. You don't have to go pick up every order.
No.
So I had somebody hit me and was like, hey, you know, I'm coming from pretty far to get this order. Would you mind tipping more?
Oh. And I was kind of like,
And my response back was, why did you take this pick this up if you knew that it was too far away?
Good job, Rashawn.
Further away, like, oh, well, I was doing this. And like, well, man, you know what?
That's not my problem.
I got cash. You know what I'm saying? So it can be that. But, like, this whole, like, if you know that it's too far away, but I'm gonna ask for an extra tip because it's so far away. Bro, it's okay. Somebody else will pick up the order. You didn't have to chime in and say you would do it. So come on, man. Like, and asking for a tip is kind of tacky.
It's like
asking for a kiss on the first date. You don't do it. They just do it. Like, it feels good. And so then we'll do it from there. But don't come up and ask me for a tip. Because what if your service was S?
Then I mean, just asking for it makes it S service to begin with, I feel like. So
now, if you say tips are appreciated, man, oh, okay, understood, like, whatever. But, like, but circling the tip number and please tip and, hey, man, like, come on. If you do that, I might leave a dollar.
Yeah.
Just because.
American tipping culture.
It's tacky to ask for a tip.
I'm just jumping the shark. So tired of it.
Yeah, it's absolutely tacky to ask for a ship, but for a tip. So
I don't remember the last time, like, I happily gave a tip. Other than, like, sitting down at a restaurant, because I think we all do. I'm trying to think of, like, the situation outside of a normal situation where I'm supposed to give a tip.
I tip all the time.
That I happily gave a tip.
I tip all the time. I mean, especially for some jobs, like,
I love tipping gas for great service.
Gas station attendants sometimes, like, especially if you're cool and you're nice and, you know, if it's early morning and you don't, you know, you'll have a good morning conversation with somebody. Yeah, if I got an extra, you know, $3, $4, $5 in my pocket, hey, man, thank you. Appreciate it. You know, so little stuff like that for sure. But they've never asked for a tip. And so they're always a little more appreciative. Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. But, you know, there's certain things that I'm probably not gonna tip for, but yeah. Either way, 3 p.m. Trailblazers. Jordan and I will be there in the Moda Center.
As they
face the Toronto Raptors. Probably gonna get, you know, liquored up and stuff like that. fingers crossed. We'll see.
I'm excited. And I just figured out, didn't remember, but I got to work for Swag tomorrow morning. So nice early morning
tight.
For me. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Tight. I mean, it is tight because Dirt and Sprague is actually a fun show. So like they're two dope dudes. But that 4 a.m. call time,
it
5 a.m. call time. Yikes.
I just had it for a week, too. So
yikes. No, hey, man, I love Dirt and Sprague.
Trust me.
They asked me to come on at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock. I'd
much rather be doing this than any other job, though.
No,
so let me just say,
for sure.
Like, it's not even close.
I've worked at Freightliner before. Yikes. I know what hard work absolutely looks like. And so this isn't a job that I'll take 10 days out of 10.
I think the hardest work I've ever done was at an Annie Ann's.
Oh, man. We can talk about our worst jobs ever. We can do that next week, man. But today, I want everybody to enjoy, themselves, enjoy their day off. Enjoy your family. If you come from church and everything, we appreciate you for rocking with us today. Jordan, appreciate you as always, my guy.
Love you, and love you all out there. Joe, wherever you are, I hope Joe the Third is scoring a ton of points today.
That's what he does. Joey is such a better athlete than Joe ever will be. I told him that. I think I kind of pissed off, but it's the truth.
So no, that's...
your thing, Joey.
Frankly, that's what I hope for my son when I do have them eventually. Like, I want them to kill me in sports.
They
just
should.
Have the ability.
That's the goal. That's the goal. So shout out to all the kids out there trying to be better than mom and dad. You're the real MVP. So... for my guy, Jordan Schultz, I'm Rashad Taylor. We're going to see y'all next week, man. Peace out.